everyone, and welcome to Thursday Live Lessons. My name is Aldrin Guerrero, and next to me, right, to my left, is Mr. Aaron the Voice Nakamura. Say what's up, Aaron.
What's up?
Welcome back. The boys are back in town. And to my right, your left, is going to be Kahai the Legend Fergan. Say what's up, Kahai.
What's up?
Nice, man. You're looking pretty snazzy with that haircut.
No, I don't know.
I look pretty snazzy. Look at you. Nice.
You like, you, it's called a bowl.
It's like, a bowl over your head.
No. My auntie does a pretty good haircut.
Nice, man. It looks good. Looks good. So, it is Thursday Live Lesson, and what we do here is we answer any and all of your questions, ukulele related, whatever related. We just like to talk, basically. We just like to talk about stuff. We like to answer questions. We like to help people out, and that's basically what this show is about. We get these questions via email, via text, via Facebook messages, Instagram messages, Twitter, whatever you guys want to do to get your question over to us. We try to answer them as best as we can. So I answer them as best as I can. These two guys will come up with their two cents. Bring it all together. We come up with a super answer for all of you guys who wants to ask us questions. We are live, so you can utilize a live chat and ask us questions there as well. But we do have some questions that were sent to us, and some student reviews that were sent to us also. So we can, let's get to it. Kahai, go.
We just got a question from Lao Gao.
Lao Gao, hey.
Yeah.
Old school. What's up, Lao Gao?
So he says, I've replaced dozens of ukulele strings yes. in the past without any problems. However, today, while trying to replace strings on my brother's kamaka, I had problems with the E and A string that I've never experienced before. Mm-hmm. Once placed under tension, the strings would slip out through the tuning peg, initially having excess string hanging out. Mm-hmm. This happened several times and only stopped after I made a half hitch utilizing the hole in the tuning peg. Yeah. This is common. Mm-hmm. Did I do the right thing?
You did. I mean, there are some fixes to that, so over time, sometimes the mechanisms in these tuners tend to kind of, you know, not work as well as they used to. I don't know how old that kamaka is, but if it's an older kamaka, maybe some parts got a little bit rusty and just kind of gave out and stuff, and that's why it's kind of doing that. Or it's just getting loose, you know?
No, so I don't think that's the problem. I think he's saying that the string was pulling out of the hole.
Oh, I thought this was like kind of doing this lash back.
No. He keeps extra.
Yeah.
Outside of the
hole. But it's like pulling.
But it's pulling and it slips through the hole.
Okay.
And so what he did was he pulled it out and then put it back into the hole on the other side. So
okay, did exactly what I would do at, with strings, because sometimes strings can get slippery and they do that. I don't exactly know why they would do that, but once you get kind of to tension, it likes to kind of. I don't know if you guys have had this before, but it likes to just go back like loose, and it's tied up like around the thing, but like super loose still.
Yeah, no. I think the string itself is.
I know, but I'm saying that sometimes it does that. That like even when you're doing that, it loses the tension, but it's like still kind of coiled up, you know.
Yeah. Well, sometimes that has to do with the bridge pins if you have bridge pins, because then.
Yeah, and I think it depends too on what kind of strings you use, because I just noticed certain types of strings. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's more common with, I don't know, I felt like it's happened to me with Nalgut more often.
The string itself is kind of, more.
So you did the right thing, you went through it again. That's what I would do anyway, like especially with my, with the slotted headstock, it tends to kind of do that, tends to kind of slip like a little bit, or like it tends to just kind of pull away even with a lot. So what I do is I put it inside the hole there. I put it again, and with that one, I think I like to, how do I explain it? Because it's different from here, from kind of the side one. If the way that I do mine is like I double knot it like that, and then I kind of like how do I explain it? Because it's like like you're twisting it, like tying it together almost. So it's like it's kind of like you tied it. But then you're also tying it in inside the hole, so I double tie. So let's see.
You don't have.
I have maybe these like headphones that I can do. So if this, so my hand was the string. This is the hole right there, right? So I would put it in there first, take it out, put it back in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's one right there. And then I would do this. I would outside I'll twist it here.
Oh, underneath.
Yeah, underneath.
Just kind of like a knot.
So, like, I would have two, you know, two knots. I was like, how do I explain that?
Yeah.
It's hard to explain. So that, it's like, it, you know. It's,
really
it's,
is not going to really, come out.
Yeah. Yeah. Because the tension coming from the top, because the more you turn it, the more, you know, this will, you know, this will get tighter. So it's already kind of, you know, like pulling or making it tight here so it doesn't pull. And it's also double, you know, like double knotted or double inserted or whatever. So that's kind of what I do because sometimes it happens, you know, like it tends to kind of slip out or just like I said, in the worst case scenario, sometimes the whole thing will like will just come like not undone, but the tension will just come undone. But then it's still kind of coiled, which is like the weirdest thing. So what Aaron was saying, it might be like a bridge problem, especially the extreme one that I had.
Sometimes because like how do you put like a bead or something?
I don't. Inside? Well, I knot like you triple knot it. I triple knot it and stuff. And I make two of them too, just to make sure.
Yeah. So sometimes with the bridge pin, when you push the knot into it, it's caught on the end of the bridge pin, and then sometimes it'll get uncaught and it'll slip
and
to
then it'll catch.
Yeah. Slip to where the bridge is.
I've also made like knots and you know tighten it as much as I could with my hands.
Yeah.
But then once I push it in. And, like, I pull the string, it just, like, tightens even more. So you get even, like, along, it slips out even more, right? And so if you think, like, you're winding and you're like, oh, it just, like, slipped out all of a sudden. It's just the fact that the knot got smaller.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That could be it, too.
You got, like, a little bit more strength.
Your knot got tighter, so.
Because it's pulling, you're putting the tension in there. Yeah. Like that. So what I like to do on the bridge side is like triple knot it so it's like a big knot, and then I like to maybe like half an inch like past that I make another knot. So there are two knots. Mm-hmm. So just in case it gets past that first one, it'll catch the second one. I don't know, I'm just paranoid now. I don't think you have to, but I'm just kind of paranoid that way because it doesn't make a difference. Like you do one or two or five, you know, it doesn't make a difference.
Well, that's like kind of the same thing. I've done that, and then like I pulled it, and then like. It slips, I take it out, and I look, and the two knots, like, I put space between, and then they smush together.
Together.
It's, like, it's just one giant knot. And I'm like, that's fine, but then that's where the extra, extra string length comes from.
Did they specify if it's a soprano, concert, or tenor?
No, but he said that it's C.F. Martin clear fluorocarbon strings.
Because soprano and concert should be, like, the tie on the bottom. Mm-hmm. And then like, and then just or the knot you knot.
It's like a tie bar bridge. Yeah.
Well, the tenor is a tie bar bridge.
But okay.
Soprano in concert is like a knot.
Oh, just like a hole, or like there's like a slot.
Yeah, yeah, slot.
So it goes.
Yeah. But it's not like this like slot like you know it's not pins, but it's just like a little slot that you put it in. So concert. Sometimes you know it pulls like it pulls much. Oh yeah, concert too. You know,
he did say it's a concert.
Yeah, so. So it pulls. That might make that knot a little bit, you know, a little bit smaller. So that can happen as well.
Something too, if it's a Kamaka with geared tuners like this one, like you want to make sure that you're always winding underneath, so the wind is pushing up.
Yeah, on the string that's true. Too.
Mm-hmm. And that should retain it a little bit better. Mm-hmm. You know, just like if you're not really, you don't normally notice that, it might have like gone over.
Yeah,
and then that when it goes over, it has a tendency to slip off.
And I mean, I think I did that kind of technique that I was saying on these as well. I think you can do that on you know on this kind of tuner. Mm-hmm. Like if you put it in, you put it in again, and then like I guess it'll create like a small like an outer like an outer like ring or hole thing, and you just put it through that, and then like tie it up, and that should make it super like super tight on that side.
Yeah, so your string travel is supposed to go on the inside of the...
Yes, never on the... Oh, no, I wouldn't say never. It's better.
Almost never,
On the inside.
Yeah, so when you're doing your kind of like knot, it's on the opposite side, then, right? That you're doing it.
Do you want to explain what you guys just talked about for somebody who doesn't know, might not understand?
Okay, well, string travel, you know, like... you want it to be as like as straight as possible. So here, you know, on this ukulele on this headstock, it doesn't really matter if it's on the outer side or the you know or the inner side.
It kind of would because the string might get touch the other tuning peg and stuff. So
here, on a C and a C and E string that you're right. So G, notice that when I put it into that, you know, the hole, I wrapped it around this way. Does that make sense? Like it's going counterclockwise instead of going clockwise.
Yeah.
And then, if it goes clockwise, this will be at the top.
On the outside
instead of the inside. And same thing with this. It's on the inside. It's curving on the inside instead of curving on the outside. And so, it makes it...
So G and C are counterclockwise and then E and A are clockwise, right? Because you want...
Yes, relative to
you want it to always be on the inner side of the headstock, basically.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. So, you know, the string travel goes from here, and you see it go, and it's as straight as possible. Mm-hmm. All right? There's a small little curve right here, but for the most part, it's pretty straight.
Yeah.
Okay? Same thing with the C. Now, if I were to do that differently with the C, if I were to go this way, not only would I be touching the G...
The peg for the G,
but it would also... make this a little bit more bent that way because it kind of has to, you know, it has to travel this way. So you want it to be as straight as possible. With my, with my slotted headstock though, I have the G and the A, the opposite side, because the headstock kind of flares out like this on my slotted headstock. So because it kind of flares out like this, if I were to do that with the G, tends to kind of do this, but if I did it backwards, it's a little bit more straight. It's hard to kind of hard to say without showing.
Because it actually twists down, like
it twists
into the headstock.
So I do it the opposite way. So it's just whatever the straightest path that your string can travel, the better.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because it doesn't have what it's doing here is creating a little bit more tension. That's why, when it's kind of going in weird, you know, in kind of weird ways. So that's why I'm not a big fan of some of the headstocks that kind of do that for you. Like it's getting a little too fancy on the headstock and it's making my string travel like all kinds of weird ways. So, but I don't know, aesthetically it's cool, I guess, you know, for some people if you like that. And I guess it doesn't really make too much of a difference, but for myself, I just get paranoid. Like, oh, that string travel is not doing too well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then also when you wind, it should go down, like, towards the headstock.
Yeah.
So, like, yeah, I don't know if you can show it this way.
Yeah. So, when you're wrapping it around the, you know, the gear. The peg.
Yeah.
Sorry, these are giving gears. So, when you're wrapping it around the peg, you want to make your way from the top down.
Yeah. So towards
the top.
Towards the
headstock. Down. Not, because you have more room going down than you do going up. See what I mean? Because the hole is right there.
Yeah.
So you're not going to have too much space going up. Because you also don't want it to run the risk of it coming off.
Yeah.
So you want it to be going down.
It also, that's what I was saying too. It also pushes pressure
into
the string coming out.
Yeah.
So it should help like the string from slipping out.
Mm-hmm.
But then to do that too, like all you have to do is really... just push down a little bit while you're winding the string, and then it should naturally fall under each wind and push it up a little bit more.
Cool. Some little quick tips for you. Throwback.
Yeah. But I think, that it does happen. Like, that's happened to me multiple times before where you leave a bunch of string kind of hanging out of the hole, and it still pulls through sometimes.
And I think I tell you, like, whenever I... just change my strings. I do that thing where, like, I coil it around.
Yeah, you leave because,
I leave a lot
because
of that fact. Because... that, like, you might do that, you know. So, what you're experiencing is totally normal.
Mm-hmm. I also do the thing like I change my string and then I grab it and I yank. You yank it pretty hard, but I yank it to stretch the string, but then also to see if there's any like give on.
Yeah.
You know, the knotted side or something.
Either side.
Yeah. And then if there is, like, if it kind of like was like, oh, I feel it, then I just tighten it up again, you know, and whatever.
Yeah.
So,
take those with a grain of salt. I mean, but for the most part, you know, those are things that you can kind of, you know, you can try out for yourself, like the doing it knotting it a certain way, making it, you know, making the string travel like a, you know, certain ways. But, you know, experiment also.
I think
because for if I were to follow everything that I did, like how I always did it, then my slotted headstock would be like coiled that way. But I found it better this way just because I was experimenting with my own ukulele. So
I think the solid like tip is to like leave that extra string.
Yeah, because like if you definitely
immediately cut it,
yeah,
it slips, and then you and try to it. Rewind. You're done. It's like yeah.
Go buy another set. So AG cross AQ. Yeah, maybe you should.
I think
no.
For me, like I at least leave it for like a couple hours or till the end of the day when I feel like everything's settled and it's
the best time to change the strings is at nighttime. Honestly, nighttime you change it, you tune it up a step, you leave it alone. You know, you leave it alone. The next day, that's like when you play it, you stretch. You you retune it, and you stretch some more, retune it, and it takes maybe 10 minutes or something max, and should be all good.
Yeah.
So, all right, next up.
Chris said, as long as we're talking about this, on his slotted bridge Kamaka concert, I can't make the knot big enough to stay under the slot because the hole at the end of the slot is too small to stuff the string through. And concert, he said E and A strings,
E and A shouldn't be because E and A strings are relatively smaller than humming.
Yeah.
So if it's that is a tough one.
Yeah. Pretty much just you just do one knot.
Yeah.
And then make sure that that will fit in there.
Mm-hmm.
And then
I do a thing with those like where how do I change it? I think I change it going up or going.
Yeah, that's what I make a I make a knot on the bottom, but then I give it a lot of give too, maybe like an inch, you know, like an inch give, and then I put it through the hole this way and just kind of pull it.
This one is kind of
Is it?
See if we have one.
It's tough because these are bridge pins, so it's gonna be hard to explain, but yeah, and then I put it through it. But if it's too small, then that means maybe the string gauges that you're using might be a little bit too thick.
Yeah, you can kind of like, I guess show,
here we go, that's a good one.
Show that the bottom of that. Because I'm guessing that that's kind of what it looks like.
Yeah,
what
his close. It's pretty close.
His looks
to,
like.
To what it is. So here.
So.
There it is. So, usually mine's is not this. This is pretty clean. Like mine has strings sticking out by like this much.
Uh-huh.
So I, you know, like I give it a lot of give and then I make a knot. I put it in there and then like put the string through and then
through the slot. Pull. Yeah.
It's just pull. So put it in the slot, you know, just pull from there. But if your string is not fitting, if that slot or that hole is too small, that means the gauge the string gauges that you're using is not is too big. It doesn't fit and stuff. You might have to redress that. But don't let that be the first thing that you do.
Yeah. I don't know if because he's saying that he can't make the knot big enough. So is he saying that
it's too big? Is it too big?
Because
he said it was too small.
I think. Yeah, so if he just makes one knot.
Yeah.
And is it like is the string pulling through still?
I think that's what he's saying. And I think what he wants is to make a knot and not have it stick out. But like that's kind of
stick out on this side. Oh yeah, that's going to be
Yeah, I think it's fine if it sticks out.
Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah.
He
wants the knot to fit into that kind of
hole. The little hole thing. Yeah, it doesn't have to.
Yeah.
Yeah, it can stick out if you want to. If it's an aesthetic thing, then
make a pretty knot.
Yeah.
Well,
rose knot it, make it look like a little rose at the end.
He says he has to double knot the strings.
It doesn't flip.
Slip through,
Yeah.
And, what I used to do, too, is instead of, making two knots or making, a double knot or anything, I just like keep winding the string through the same like you make a knot like how you would normally do it like the loop and then I just keep like winding it through the loop and if you pull that it kind of makes like a giant like it's I think it's like a monkey's fist kind of it just becomes like a bigger one solid knot so that
how
might
many
help.
Times would you do it in order to get the monkey fist?
I think if you there's a weird thing where if you do it a certain amount of times and you pull it it'll just slip all the way through.
Yeah.
So I think I did it like 3 or 4.
Yeah, but I would say like don't do it more than 3 times. It's the knot's gonna get a little bit too big. Yeah. So 2, I do 2 and it's fine. Fun fact.
Sometimes a double knot is too big, but
yeah.
There's one knot called a figure 8 knot, so that might be small enough, but bigger than, you know, bigger than a single knot, but smaller than a double knot.
Yeah.
So I don't know. He can try that out too. That. Yeah.
He can,
Boy Scout like, over here. Tell us about the different knots. Eagle Scout over here.
It's also like kind of like fishing knots, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Like when you pull it, it'll bunch up and get like tighter around itself.
Mm.
So if you do that, like, it should be, like, a big knot, but when you pull it, hopefully it won't slip through, but then it'll kind of condense in and on itself and, like, squeeze into that little slot a little bit better, you know. And then you just leave, like, I would leave when doing knots, I would just leave, like, a ton of string just in case, like.
Yeah, because you can always cut it later.
Yeah. So. That's why I leave a lot on here. So because once it settles, you can cut it. Just like when I was talking about the ones up here, like I coil it and stuff. After a week, just cut it right off to make it clean. Sometimes I don't. Sometimes like
How much do you try to leave though?
On the bottom one
or
on the top?
Bottom and top.
The bottom one maybe half an inch to an inch. And this like whatever's left. Whatever's left there, I'll just like coil up into a nice little
Because you also don't want to cut it too close because that'll cause it to slip too. So
that's not tuned. It's tuned opposite.
That's how you could have done that song, right? Like that you tried to. Was it Body Surfing that you made from major to minor?
Oh yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
So you could have just changed the tuning of the strings.
That sounds horrible. All of our listeners decided to leave.
it's art, Aaron. You just don't understand.
It's so jazz.
Why can't you just play the right notes?
Abe.
That's like the only person that is like, oh man.
He gets it. he gets it. Okay, cool. Next.
I think that's everything for questions.
Okay. We did have a couple of student reviews. So if you guys want to check these out, they're over on the UU Plus forum, so you can watch these. One is from Alan and the other one is from Mark. And let's go with Alan first. So Alan submitted a student review of his group, and I guess it's like quartet. Is it a quartet? He did like a four part.
There's a little bit more.
Oh, yeah, I think the first video maybe had more people, but I think the second video had 4 people. So, a few pointers. First off, like I think he did great. I especially love the James Hill song and stuff. I mean, it's James Hill. I mean, he's gonna come up with a great like four part ukulele arrangement. It's just that's no question. One thing is, you know, my band teacher, you know, always kind of encouraged us to move together as a band. If if the melody line's kind of, you know, it's kind of moving, you need to move together. That's one of the hardest things, you know, an ensemble, you know, has to do is to kind of groove together, move together, phrase together. Okay. And you also have to know your roles, you know, when in the part. So if you're playing mostly a strumming part, you know, you need to be at a volume where, you know, the picking parts can shine. And if you are playing a picking part, you need to know if you're playing the first picking or the second picking part. If you're, you know, if you're harmony, you might want to like pull back a little bit so that the, you know, the main melody line can shine out. So there's like that, you know, hierarchy of like who gets to be the loudest and stuff, and not just everyone can just like kind of play, you know, play the same volume. It's not, you know, it's not gonna work. You need to make those melodies move. And if, you know, if the main melody line is kind of playing around with phrasing, and it's like the volume is kind of doing, you know, doing dips and stuff, if it's like kind of going like, you know, soft and then loud at some points, you as either a strummer or a harmony line has to move with that person. That person gets to control, you know, where the phrase is going to go. Whoever has the main melody at the time gets to gets to decide. And another thing is, I like that you guys had a conductor kind of helping you guys move. But that's also another thing that that can help you guys out a lot is is working on the working on the conductor, because it's great that that they do this and you guys know where where you're at, but he needs to kind of like direct you at the same time. He can't just like wave his arms and then like, okay, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, because like a metronome will be able to do that, but a good conductor will like will cue you in. So if there's if there's a main melody line that's coming up, for example, like that conductor has to look at that person who's doing that melody line and like help them move, like it's not just like a down, like 1, 2, 3, 4, at this 4, if that person's gonna play their main melody at beat 1, you're making this 4 really big and then looking at that person and then 1, 2, 3, 4 to make sure that that person knows that it's time, it's their cue, they're gonna go, and then like just
their volume
just, yeah
is
their volume
come,
has to kind of go up,
and everybody else is not gonna
exactly
come up.
Like you I need to focus, you need to shine right now. And then like while you're doing that with one hand, like the other hand has to kind of direct the rest of the rest of the band to kind of move along with this person. Like a good conductor is going to do that. And I mean, nothing against the conductor you have now and stuff, but it's just these are extra things that the conductor could also do, give you not just give you the beats and the time and stuff, but direct you, like a good conductor should be able to direct the music. And it's basically the conductor is the person playing the music, not playing the music, is, if I were to play my ukulele, for example, you guys are the ukulele, and the conductor is me doing the ukulele, the ukulele things, or, directing the ukulele to sound or to play a certain way. That's what the conductor's job is to play you guys, so he needs to kind of direct, okay, this person, 1, 2, 3, 4, while this is going and conducting in perfect time, this needs to go, and this movement right here gets the bigger that it gets, the louder that you should get, so this swing has to make sense. It's a lot.
Usually it's one hand is giving you rhythm cues, and then the other hand they'll point to people, but then like in bigger bands, they'll like cue whole sections, and you can see them raise it up, volume raise, or okay guys, calm down, and then even calling out certain people too, right? Or I've had band conductors do this where they look at the drummer, the bass drummer, or something, and go you have to
point, while they're still conducting, they have to kind of hey, get ready,
Or it's if they're speeding up and they're not noticing it, they'll point at them and be calm down. So there's a lot to a lot a conductor can do besides giving extra
so time. While he's doing a great job giving you guys the time and stuff, really, if you're gonna have somebody stand there and do that, they might as well that really drive you guys,
Yeah, and your part as a player too is you should look at the conductor.
Yes, yeah,
that's the worst thing to do is if the conductor is there.
Right. You can look at your music and stuff, and you can have music, but be in the same eye line as if you can look at your music, but at the same time, the conductor is here, and you can still see the conductor, conducting you.
How I learned in band was that by the time it's a concert or a performance, you should have your music memorized anyway. Mm-hmm. So the sheet music is just there, just in case, or something, or you'll every so often look back at it. But your main focus should be at the conductor, right? Mm-hmm. And you're looking at the conductor and you're listening to everybody.
Yes. Yeah. So
that's good, because I couldn't read music anyway.
Yeah, me either.
Tell me what I'm supposed to
do. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I know how the song goes.
That's why I sucked at sight reading, or when we first got the music, I was the worst. And then later on, when they're okay, guys, we're gonna see how well you memorize everything. turn those stands around. I was like, oh boy, I'm ready. I haven't been reading this.
That's
music
what I was doing the whole time.
Been practicing my whole life for this. Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, because I had to learn, like, you know, like the how to conduct and stuff. I was one of the conductors, like, in our band, award winning band. And
just like, humble brag. Yeah.
Like in in high school and also in college and stuff. But like, I had the very, very important responsibility that my conductor's like, if I ever have a heart attack and die on stage, you're gonna take the baton and just keep the concert going. And if you knew my conductor, like, yeah, he's not kidding.
That's how serious he was about
he's
it.
He's not joking. So because, you know, in the clarinet section, I was one of one of the first chairs. I'm right there, you know, I'm like at the outside seat. Mm-hmm. Run up, pick up the thing, keep the song going, and finish the concert. And I was like, and telling a high school kid that is like, oh, okay. But yeah, so, you know, there's a lot of things a conductor can do, but also kind of work on yourselves individually and kind of know the music, just like what Kahaya was saying, so that mm-hmm. you would know, you know, where the cues are going to be, you know, where you are in the song, you know, what part you're playing, you know, where you should be in the volume spectrum, you know. So all those things can make that quartet a lot better. Okay, but good job, though. You guys, and this is just me, like, nitpicking it at this point. And we're mm-hmm. like, oh, I'm excited for you. These are the things you can do to make this even better, you know? So, but you guys are doing a great job. The arrangements are, you know, are great. I love them, and I love how you guys sound. You guys look like you're having fun, and that's the main thing, all right? Also, we got a student review from Mark G. So Mark played with his wife. He did a little concert, you know, and so I think it was like a Father's Day concert or whatever they call it. So he did, I guess they did three songs. And, you know, it was, I think that I Like Me Better song by Lauv. And mm-hmm. they did I don't know if it was an anime song and stuff. Mm-hmm. And they also did
What's Up
by Four Non Blondes. Mm-hmm. So I loved it. You know what I mean? Like, I'm kind of jealous because my wife doesn't want to play music with me. I mean, she had a mental breakdown, like, when we had her, you know, on one of the lessons and stuff. And no idea how hard that day was for me. She just was freaking out, like, couldn't breathe, kind of, like, just had a breakdown. I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, why? Like, it's pre-recorded. You don't even have to sing for real. You just have to mouth your words. But don't ever tell your wife that. She doesn't. Apparently, they don't like it.
but we did do kind of a lot to stage that.
Yeah, so, we did.
So it was kind of like we had to get it in a few takes.
Yeah,
you know, if it was gonna work. So it was kind of the pressure was kind of on.
Yeah,
so.
But you know, it was fine. It was fine.
Oh, what song was that?
It was I Know
You Belong.
You Belong.
Oh yeah,
yeah. So, you know. Is it You Belong to Me?
To Me.
Yeah, To Me. Yeah, It Belong to Me. Okay, anyway. So, you know, with that said, great, you know, great job. I love that, you know, she's kind of coming out of her shell and kind of doing more stuff. Because, like, the first few times that, you know, I've seen you guys kind of jam together, she seems super shy. But now she's, like, singing and stuff, which is really cool. You know, she's getting a lot better with her, you know, with her chords and being a little bit more confident with, like, with harder chords. Because I've noticed in the second song, some of those chords are not easy, you know, like you're playing B or C sharp and stuff. There's a lot of, like, kind of, you know, like, hard chords for a beginner, and even beginner intermediate person would, you know, would have a little bit of a hard time with some of those chord progressions.
What impressed me is she's keeping, like, a pretty steady, the backbeat, for Mark to play the melody line.
Right, and I mean, Mark's doing a great job, like, keeping the melody and keeping time also with the melody, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, in his head, and I know that, like, you know, his wife is kind of, like, helping him kind of get that rhythm down, but also, because if like, the background person is doing it correctly, if the main melody guy, mm-hmm. Audrey Guerrero, you know, is gonna rush, then then that means your backup person also has to kind of, you know, like, also kind of has to rush or pull you back.
That's kind of like what you said with Alan, like, that something that the two of them are really good at, mm-hmm. and I'm guessing it's just because they play a lot together, mm-hmm. is they're really in sync.
Yeah, like, I mean, it's easy for two people to sync up. I mean, I'm not knocking on, like, on Mark and his wife's chemistry and stuff, and that's definitely a chemistry that only they have, you know, that definitely helps. But it is easier for two people to kind of, you know, to listen and play off of each other than four people.
The more people that you add, it gets more complicated.
Yeah. So that is, you know, that stuff. And one of the clips that, you know, that Alan sent us there, like you were saying, is like 5-7 people.
Yeah.
There. So it's a little bit tough. And the more, you know, the bigger the band, the harder it is to kind of move together. So I get that. And that's going to be one of the challenges that you guys kind of have to face.
You can see kind of like, it's like you said, chemistry, though, right? Where they just know each other well enough and, like, they're kind of confident in each other enough where it seems like they don't have to worry about, like, oh, you got it. You know, I can do... Mark can say, like, oh, you got the strumming. I can do the picking anyways.
So if I, you know, if I am going to, you know, going to kind of nitpick it, if you guys are looking for, like to tell us how we can get better and stuff. You know, I would, like they're doing great. That's why, like, so I don't even know, like, because you know, it would just be nitpicking things, like maybe match, you know, because sometimes she's like, you know, she's kind of singing, and he's doing his, you know, his picking, so you know, or he's doing something, you know, with his yug, either like a tiny little like ditty or whatever. Sometimes she's singing, you kind of have to like know how loud you are, you know, like when she does that as well, or just even just strumming. If she's singing and you're strumming is louder than she's singing, you kind of have to like pull back a little bit, so kind of know where you are in the spectrum as well.
Somebody who's like excellent at that is Daryl, right?
Proposal.
Because even when Shiloh was singing and Daryl was picking, like, along with him, it's never overbearing.
Yeah,
it's never, like, in the front.
In the pockets and stuff. Yeah. Like, just a little pocket here.
And so Shiloh is still, like, that, you know, he's still singing the main melody. He's still, like, in the front. But then you hear Daryl and it's like, man, this backing, like, it sounds like there should be two ukuleles backing.
Little raindrops on the on the background of the song. Speaking straight from the heart.
and that's just like that. Daryl has been playing for so long, so it's something you get with years.
Yeah, that's what it sounded like to me. It's like he's talking about something on my mind now. It's like there's a really rainy day outside, you know, like with fingers like his big. I was like, it's very like that's kind of the vibes that I was, you know, that I was getting. And it's really cool. Loved it. Let's see, what's another thing? I mean, just keep at it, you know, like you guys are doing great.
Yeah.
Or maybe pep up a little bit more, you know, like, because after the song is done, that's kind of when they pep up. They're like, over. Yeah, oh, it's okay. During the song, they're kind of like, full concentrate, which is fine, you know, like, because I know you got to concentrate so you don't, you know, like, but there's also, you know, a part in just kind of loosening up, you know, about your performance. It'll make the audience kind of loosen up as well, because if I'm watching it and you guys are tense, you know, it makes me a little tense a little bit as a, you know, as an audience. So just, you know, you're playing with your wife, you know, just have fun. I wish I could be with my wife.
when you guys were getting ready in Denver, like, to go up on stage, there was, like, some things that you said, like, or you guys were just kind of, like, warming up and doing stuff. And you played a few songs. You told Aaron, like, oh, let's just play this song.
Yeah.
Like, let's just play it to actually play it. Like,
yeah,
no,
just to play. Just have fun.
And I think you even said, like, oh, we're not going to play this anyway. So let's just play it however. It might be helpful for them, like, to have one of those, like, you know, songs that they're so well known. Like, they know so well, or it's, like, so easy to them, or kind of like, whatever kind of song.
I'll jam this.
And that's great, especially too for like a first song or like, you know, like something that they can know, like, we warm up with. It's something you don't have to really
drop baby drop.
Yeah, drop baby drop or something. Exactly. Like our first song is drop baby drop usually. You
kind of gets you into the mood.
Yeah. So have fun. Yeah. That's mainly it. I like to, you know, No, I'm not going to use that example.
I think I told you before that when I do magic for people, I do a trick. I start, when people ask me to do magic, I start with a trick that I can do with my eyes closed. Like,
Something you're comfortable with.
Yeah, I don't need to worry about, I've done this trick, you know, the most out of any other tricks. And I start with that because it's like, oh, okay, I got it down. I can move on to more complex things, you know. It's like, I got that out of the way. they already like saw that one trick and they're like, oh, it's not like my, yeah. It's not going to blow anybody away, but it's still that one trick where it's like, oh, it's pretty good, you know?
So it just builds, right? Yeah. I mean, like we're playing How Can I Get Over First? And it's like, eh, it's not bad. Yeah. It's not bad. And then we hit you with something else. I'm like, okay, let me sit down.
I'm on board now.
I'm on board. Yeah. Let me sit down. Let me see what else, you know? Like it's cool, but just loosen up a little bit, I guess, you know? And that's, it's tough for me to say that because you guys are not like really like stage people. You're not trying to be like on stage and doing all these things because you're just having fun. And you know, but it would be cool like if I had fun with you, you know, that'd be great. So if you look like you're having fun, it's easier for me to kind of have fun with you. Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't think like it was so bad that it like messed up their songs, even like them being
nervous. No, it was still so great. It was still great. But it was cute, you know, when they did like did interact, you know, to get like between songs and stuff, or like
you could see that personality.
Yeah, you can see that personality, and that was what was great about it, because like either maybe one of them will like maybe like miss a note or something, and like they look at each other like, oh, you know, it's great. Like those things, like I don't even care about like some of the missed notes or whatever, or like if you guys go off beat, it's those things that like make me go, aw, look at that couple. Heather, why are we like that?
Please, I'm trying to do real things.
Like, take care of your spawn.
I don't have time to humor you, Eltry.
I'm trying to raise your spawn. You, I had to shove out for you. Like, oh, okay.
And you're just like, come on, when can she feed herself? Come on.
Yeah, I can't wait till she's 17.
After we got this baby, you don't play with me anymore.
So she's not quite 18 yet, so she's still under my roof and still under my jurisdiction, but she can feed herself. All right, so anything else we got, you know, got to discuss before we kind of just let it?
I was going to give or tell Alan something maybe.
No.
I don't know if his group, like if they kind of like sit in, you know, like in band, there's like,
oh yeah, sections, yeah.
Yeah, and you have chairs, right? So it's like first chair, second chair, third chairs. Yeah. Something that might help them like to kind of try and sync up with each other is to like mix it up, like so different parts are sitting next to different people.
Mm.
And not for a performance, but for practice.
For practice.
Because you can hear what other people are playing and you can kind of hear like, oh, for that part, I'm supposed to get quieter because they're playing louder. I know like for band we used to do that every once in a while, like where the saxophones and the trumpets would mix together and we could actually hear the saxophones what they're playing and then be like, oh yeah, that's why we gotta tone it down a little
bit. Just on certain sections of the piece.
Or like I would suggest is to like what during practice and stuff, practice like in a circle. You know, it's great so that everybody can hear everybody's parts. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's like really like the best way to do it. But if you guys are doing a concert like this and stuff, you guys are performing, always like be where you're, you know, always have the section because that's for the conductor. We're talking about the conductor and stuff, so he knows
where everybody he should is.
Be looking at. Yeah, and who's playing what part.
When we used to do in band, we would have like, you know, smaller, like we would do brass quartets or whatever. And whenever we did that for practice, we wouldn't sit in like a section or anything. Mm-hmm. We would just stand in a circle, and then our conductor would like be in the middle of us, and then they could, you know, just turn around and tell us like, okay, for that part you need to get higher, or you need to, you know, raise your volume or something. Yeah. So like even that was like good practice for us and the conductors, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, to telling us kind of, and that's the thing is like it kind of all gets you in sync with each other the more you play together. So
we're all really cool advice, so you know, take it with a grain of salt still. You know, we don't know what we're talking about sometimes. Like, you know, we're just talking, but it is, you know, it is from our experiences. Like definitely the stuff that I said is just based on like, you know, my experience being in, you know, being in an orchestra, being in a concert band and stuff, and being in quartets. Like I've been in not just like ukulele, you know, like ukulele bands and stuff, but I played in a sax quartet and a clarinet quartet, and that's kind of how, you know, things were. And just knowing like who, you know, who had what part and who he, you know, who we had to listen to and who's kind of got what and stuff and how loud that person's going to be. Like it's just all about listening to each other, really.
I think too. I mean, Alan plays like with a bunch of different groups and a bunch of different people. But if some of the people from his that you know smaller like quartet group, maybe if they played with like you know a huge group that meets every month and then they all play together, that's like that's kind of the difference too. If you play in a concert band or something, because there are definitely parts where I'm like. I'm not that good at this part, so I'm not gonna play it, you know, as loud or like, oh yeah, I can play as loud as I want because there's like 50 other high school kids playing super loud too, you know. And if you kind of if that's what you're used to like a huge group, it might take some adjustment to play in a smaller group too. Yeah, so it just is
also practice. Like it wouldn't hurt to actually kind of know each other's parts, you know, like you guys all play ukulele and stuff, and it's all ukulele parts, so like take another ukulele part and kind of study it so that you know what that person's doing at all times. And then the other person, so you know what that person's doing at all times. I mean, me and Aaron will play music together. Aaron knows exactly what I'm going to be doing at what, you know, at what spot, so that he knows when he should be, you know, like adding some accents and when he should be kind of moving, when he should be getting louder, getting softer. He knows what I'm doing. I know what Aaron's doing sometimes. Like sometimes I know what Aaron's doing, but you know,
or just like, even if you can't play it, like, yeah, I can't play the but stuff that you do, but I know how it goes and you know, when it picks up and when it kind of slows down or gets softer.
That's important. That's important. And it's tough. Like the more people you have, the more like you got to keep track.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause we played, with Randall. Last week.
Yeah.
And Randall like keeps a really steady beat and you tend to speed up. And so like between the two of you, I have to like forge that middle ground to like keep you guys two together. Yeah. So
it was tough because he left and he did a really good job these past two because Randall was was playing in Aaron's place on the regular Wednesday night shows that we have. But I emailed him, cause remember one time I took like a Zoom recorder and I recorded our set and stuff. Yeah. So I just gave him that and he was practicing. He practice like day and night. Like he would come over and stuff. He's just like, but he was really working on it. And kudos to Randall. He got it. He got that like that thumb strung down and stuff. But you know, you could tell he was like really stressing out about it and stuff. But like. It's still what was tough is because he's still a bass player who like plays steady and straight. Mm-hmm. So like he's got that Aaron, you know, like Ryan, you know, Isaki and
Ernie
Cruz Jr. Yeah. You know, kind of strum. Yeah. But then it's really like on
right
beat,
on,
and I'm just
right
like,
on,
oh my god! And I can't tell him like, oh, you know, you want to speed up a little bit? Like, no, because I would be wrong. So I just have to follow him now.
Cool.
So
that's the thing too, is that you. Will regularly count off a song and then immediately change the tempo.
That's not the tempo.
Or sometimes you'll like you'll do a picking like the intro picking to a song, and then when you get into the song, it's a different tempo than that. So it's like if you already know that that's what you're gonna do, it's kind of easy to follow. Yeah. But if you don't know that that's gonna happen, it's like well, do I keep the tempo or do I change it?
Yeah. So. It's kind of reversed because usually Rad would have a hard time playing with me and stuff.
Yeah.
This time I kind of had a hard time like playing on beat, and it was like
because he was keeping,
I feel like our show was on like on time like this past for the first time in like ever maybe like the tempo was pretty consistent.
I mean,
we sped up every now and then, but it's pretty much locked. If you have a bass player playing the guitar parts for you, oh man, it'll really like force you to play well.
That's never a problem. I would think of like, oh man, you're just too. I mean, I've heard like Questlove said that like that's like something he was like playing for. He was like playing drums for like a R&B artist, and the R&B artist said like. No, you gotta play more drunk. Like, you gotta play more
often.
And Questlove is like, man, no, like, I'm a professional drummer. I gotta play in the pocket. And the guy's like, no, no, it's cool, it's cool. He's like, no, other drummers are gonna make fun of me. Like, if I play sloppier, they're gonna make fun of me.
Yeah. But like, that's what they're going for.
Yeah.
I think I told that story when we were recording Replay, like, on my second album. I couldn't do it. Like, I couldn't play behind the beat. Like,
because you're usually ahead of the beat.
Yes.
Slowing down
like,
that
behind
much
the beat
is,
it's insane. Now, I mean, if we're playing live and some of the adrenaline's going, definitely. But if, you know, if there's a metronome, I can kind of, like, follow the metronome if I'm trying to time each, you know, each strum to the downbeat of the metronome. But if you give me a metronome and you tell me not to follow it and go behind it,
slightly
that's
behind.
When I'm like, wait, what? What is that? Like, how do I even do that? And then I'm like, no, Ryan, you do it. So, like, Ryan tried it. He couldn't do it either. Like, Ryan's the most lax guitar player that I know. And we had to call Ariki, because Ariki was done already. Ariki's our bass player for that album. And he was already done. And we flew him up from Kauai to Oahu. He's like, okay, I'm Pau now, right? He's like, yeah, you recorded all your stuff. Go do whatever it is that you want. I think he was at Ala Moana with his wife, like, on a shopping spree. Like, hey, free trip to Oahu, you
yeah,
know?
Yeah, yeah. Please come back.
Yeah, exactly. And he got paid. And we're like, Ariki, we're gonna have to bring you back. Bring you back here. And then when he came back and he found out what he was going to do, he's like, so nobody could do this? So I'm like, hey, I paid your way here. So it was, it was a big fail for me and Ryan.
But Ariki is very,
yeah, he's very reggae.
Yeah, he can.
So he did it, and he did like the little guitar lines and stuff. So not just like the strumming, but he did little guitar lines, and like, okay, yeah, I couldn't do that either. With my yeah. Even if you asked me to, I don't know, maybe if I took a Xanax or something, I'll be behind the beat all the time.
What was that? Well, we were trying to figure out like what song we should do for the next solo. Mm-hmm. And what was that song you were showing me? Like that you said, like, oh, maybe we can do this one.
Oh, Killer Joe.
Yeah.
Killer Joe. But it's just like so boring.
and you showed me a few different versions.
Yeah.
And there's one that I said, like, this one is like college kids playing it. Cause like the drummer is like, he's pretty in the pocket. He's like laying down a steady groove. And then the other one, it was like the piano player, yeah. Right? I think. And it was just like.
Just slightly behind. And he did it on purpose and it killed me.
Yeah. But I was like, this is amazing. You know that this guy is like, I don't care what the rest of you are doing. I'm going to make this super hard for you to play along to, but whatever, you got to live with it. And I've heard of like other musicians who kind of go through that same thing and they like look at each other and they're like, is this for real? Are we playing for real like this? And then they're just like, I guess so. We got to go like this. And they said like, that's some of the best growing moments. So it's, right. It's like playing with somebody who's like in a totally different style from what you're used to. And it's just like, I guess I gotta play with them too.
Remember when we were in Thailand and I was taking a little lesson with Uncle Benny? Were you there for that and stuff? Mm-hmm. And he's teaching me, you know, I guess Satin Doll or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I had the notes and I'm like, I'm singing it in my head, you know, like, cause I know the song. And he's like, no, it's like this. I'm like, I played it exactly like how you did. But like, then like, no, he had a swing.
You have to have jazz in your soul.
That's probably why, cause I was like kind of playing it straight. I was like, what? But I didn't want to be like, dude, this is the same exact thing. You don't tell Benny Chong that.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, Uncle. Like, all
right. Well, it's kind of like learning a language, right?
Yeah.
It's like, that's what I said. Like, no, that sounds like you have an accent. But I said it exactly like you.
Yeah. I think
your arigato sounds pretty good.
Yeah. That's what I said.
But like, it's like Jason Arimoto too, right? Like you hear him play the blues and it's like, this man like knows his blues.
Yeah.
And then there's like people who, even though he teaches a class, his class is great. Like you can learn a lot from it. But I think some people will like learn it and be like, oh, I'm playing 12 bar blues too. And it's like,
blues it up.
Still, Jason. You just know, like when you hear Jason live, it's like, oh man, this guy has got it.
Yeah. He's it spent many sleepless nights on his midterms. He's a doctor. It's probably what he's sad about.
Maybe. Yeah. The same thing is like that. It's either become a doctor or go to the Delta Blues, right? And then walk around and find that devil who will like trade your soul with.
But apparently, you know, trying to be a doctor is going to give you the same kind of depression to play blues. So maybe that's what I should have done. Get my doctorates. I could play some great blues like Jason Arimoto. Now I don't even know how he can play blues like that. He's like the most zen guy that I know. He's like
like a chill.
And he's super chill dude guy. And he plays blues like
who hurt you?
Yeah, exactly. This is the coolest guy. Been with the same girl like as long as I've known him and stuff. And it's like, it's kind of like Carly G singing the way she does. It's like, that doesn't make sense.
Yeah, you don't have enough, like,
life ammunition. Where is this ammunition coming from?
Yeah.
So it's cool, though. It's fine.
And even Carly, too. Like, you meet her and talk to her, and it's like, she's just like a normal.
Yeah, and she's like super shy. Usually. Yeah. I mean, I don't know if it's just around us and stuff.
Yeah, but, like, super supportive parents. It's like, what? How do you. Yeah.
I remember just like at NAMM, like I sat down because I was just tired from walking around.
Yeah.
And Carly and her dad just came and sat down next to me and they're eating lunch. I was like, oh, hey, what's up, guys? Like, that's, you know, like, it's not like she's the way that she sings and the song she sings. Yeah. You would think that like she would sit down and there'd be tear marks, like, or she'd pull out a cigarette, right? And be like, oh man, it's been a long day.
Yeah, yeah,
but she was just like sitting there eating a salad. Yeah. So I was like, okay, cool.
Yeah, I mean, I encourage all of you guys to check out her album and like and listen to her lyrics too. It's like, this is kind of lyrics that like a 17-year-old girl would write. Like, this is, it's insane.
Yeah.
It's insane. So check it out. It won a Hoku for like R&B album of the year. So Carly G, things called Have Fun. But it's not fun. Like, the lyrics are very R&B. It's like, oh man, that's, you got some stuff to say, girl. Go say it.
maybe Carly and Jason, you know, they're like super nice, and so they just hold like everything in.
Or maybe there was someone else in a previous life, if you believe it.
Maybe
that. You know, just reincarnated as Carly G, but she's actually Robert Johnson. I don't know. Like,
for some reason, I have like an affinity for whiskey, heavy bourbon.
I know. When her dad's not there, it's like doing nothing but shots of whiskey. But I don't know. Yeah, I mean, she's a sweet girl. She's like super nice and stuff. It's just, I don't know. Like, well, I don't know where that comes from, where that ammunition comes from. Where, like, man, who hurt you?
I like too, when she was like playing at NAMM, she was playing at the Kanileo booth. There's like people surrounding her and people who are like, you know, they're older and they've been in the industry for a while.
Yeah.
And they're like, who is this girl? Yeah.
Speaking of which, like, she played with me and Uncle Willie. Like, I was nervous to play with Uncle Willie. Willie K. You know, it's like legend. Yeah. And she's playing with me and Willie K. Yeah. And she's like killing it.
And she's like, do you guys want to do this song?
Yeah. Like,
do you guys know this song?
No big deal.
Yeah,
for her.
Uncle Willie is like, I was around when they wrote that song. How do you know it?
You know that song.
I feel weird.
Yeah, exactly.
With you singing
it. Didn't he play the guitar for like that recording or something?
Yeah.
I think he did. Yeah. And then like, so for her to be like, oh, let's play this one. I know you know it. You know, it's like, how do you know that?
Yeah. Didn't Uncle like Willie like after you guys all finished? He was like, Carly, why are you singing songs like that?
Yeah, yeah, it was for Hale Iwa Hula.
Yeah,
it
was like,
he was like, that I feel dirty. It's like, it's kind of a dirty song, and you're like,
check that video. Is it an R? Like, I think it was on our channel. Yeah,
we put up one, and I know Carly put up like, a few videos of you guys playing.
Yeah, I was, because I didn't know the key, like the chord changes, and it's not like a normal chord change kind of song and stuff, and I just had to. Play it on the spot, but then she was just like, oh yeah, I got this, you know, playing with Willie K, no big deal. It's crazy.
Children
are the future, Kahai.
I mean, I know she played at the Hoku and stuff, right?
Killed it.
But I think she is definitely like one of the artists from Hawaii who's like, more people should outside of Hawaii.
Oh, and I think she will. I think she will. I think she'll get, you know, she'll get her moment.
Yeah.
That's definitely something that's not going to be ignored. Her voice is too big to be ignored, I think.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, and it's exciting. Exciting to, like, hey, we knew her once.
Hey, let's get it. Like, let's do another thing with her before it is. Like,
I know. We've been trying. We've been really trying. But
oh, it's cute, guys, that you think you can do another collab with me before she's like
by
that.
By the time, like, we're, you know, we're going to do it, she's like, I'm too big now.
Yeah.
No, but she's too nice to do that, though. But.
I wouldn't.
Who knows? Hopefully, she still wants to jam with us. All right, so it is 2 p.m. Do we have any last minute stuff that we should take care of before we go?
I don't think so.
All right, so a new U Plus solo just came out, right? So if you guys, you know, if you guys like kind of slacky-ish, you know, sounding songs, go check that out right now. It's called
Glass Ball
Slack Key or Turkey in the Straw. Turkey in the Straw, and it's really fun. I love playing that song, a Herb Alta Jr. classic. It's one of those tunes, like, when I first saw him live, I'm like, hey, that's that Foghorn Leghorn song, you know, Looney Tunes. And it was really cool. It got stuck in my head and managed to, you know, figure it out a while back when I was kind of, you know, noodling around with the ukulele in high school. So it's one of my kind of childhood songs. So I hope you guys enjoy it. Check that out.
It has a cool thing, too, where we teach the C and then we teach the
modulation.
Yeah, to modulation. D. So kind of teach you how to, if you want, you can. And with that, you can kind of even keep going too, right?
Yeah, like, you can go to E if you want to, or F if you have enough frets. Yeah. It's pretty cool, so make sure you check that out. We have loads of other, you know, fun stuff that's coming up for you guys. I think, let's see what else. In like a week and a half, we have another lesson that's coming out. We have we just recorded a really, really fun UU Plus solo not too long, so... Kai's working that right now. Can't wait to show you guys that one. That's going to be so sick.
I think next week we might put out another 360 video that we shot a while ago.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
That might come out pretty soon. Yeah.
That's the one with Fingers and Shiloh.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So Fingers is Daryl. So I don't know, because Kai sometimes he's Daryl or Fingers, but he's the same guy.
I don't know if I can call him that. I don't know if we're close enough friends.
Or Daryl.
Daryl.
Uncle Daryl.
Yeah.
I keep forgetting, you know, like he's a chill dude and he kind of comes off as like a bro, like a little, like, you know,
yeah.
But it's like Uncle Daryl because, you know, he's definitely older than me, like a lot.
He doesn't look it, though.
No, he does not. He doesn't look a day over 20-something. Like,
yeah.
He looks exactly like how we saw them at the county fair.
when he was 20-something.
Oh, man. So it's been a while, but it's really cool to kind of like collaborate with him. So look forward to checking that out on our channel, because I get to finally jam with one of my heroes. That's really cool, you know. So check that out. Keep it locked in here. Tomorrow we will have a little Friday Live Jam. Aaron Nakamura is back, so it's going to be loads of fun. You know, no more cardistry and magic tomorrow. Now that Aaron is back.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate, but, you know, our Gina Kai show will revive itself some way, somehow, some other time.
We took that bus and we drove it off
the cliff, man. Did you watch last week's show?
No.
Don't.
Yeah.
Don't.
I don't want Dad to yell at us. Yeah.
Too bad. Yeah. Just it was lots. It went well. It's the same. We had fun. The audience had fun. We had like over 100 people. It was great. Whenever we sang emo songs, we had more stuff. Like we had more. It was great. I loved it. So tomorrow, Lord Friday Live Jams. Right after this this show, after Thursday Live Lesson, we do have one-on-one coaching. So, you know, all of you folks who want to stick around for that, stick around for that. We'll see you guys next time. Have a great one. Aloha.